Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now we have a returning guest, Dr. Michael Brown, who's a radio host, he's an author, he's a columnist, and in fact, recently he has written an article about a physician in Great Britain who was fired basically for affirming basic biology. And we're going to talk about that, so it's kind of getting into this whole transgender issue. Gender madness is kind of the overall thrust here in this discussion. Dr. Brown, it's great to have you back on the program.
Great to be with you, Jerry. Thanks.
Sure. Now, England, unfortunately, is ahead of us or behind us, you know, whatever way you perceive it. But they are definitely more secular, more anti-Christian, and more committed to what some would call sexual orthodoxy, which means really an unchristian pagan view of sexuality. Tell us about this British doctor of 26 years who lost his job for affirming basic biology, as you put it.
Yeah, I just got back from England, and things really are quite extreme. In fact, if I could just paint a picture.
Sure.
England is about to pass a, quote, conversion therapy ban, which would mean it is illegal for anyone in England to get professional help for unwanted same-sex attraction. It would be illegal to go to a counselor, to go to a pastor in a professional capacity to get counseling to help with unwanted same-sex attraction for all of England. That's how far things have gotten. One of our friends is a missionary there, and their 15-year-old daughter goes to a girls' school. And the other day, the teacher said something, girls, you know, you got to be quiet. And they push back. How do you know we're girls? How can you determine that we're girls just because we're in a girls' school or based on our biology? Then another missionary told us that in the school where their kids go, they're native Brits and they're doing outreach there, in the school where their kids go, that there was a charity drive recently, a fundraising drive, and the funds were going to be given to a local LGBT activist group.
Yeah.
So this woman protested to the school and said, how can this be? On what basis can you be giving money to something this controversial? And she said, the kids picked this. The kids picked it. So that just paints a little bit of a picture of how far things have gone. And, of course, a large reason for that is the falling away of so many professing Christians, the dying of the traditional churches there, over half of the people in England saying they don't have any religious faith. So these things go hand in hand. As for this doctor, he worked with the National Health Services for over 25 years. He got a new position, and in this he'd be interviewing people and, let's say, prescribing things for them, etc. And he said, look, if someone is a biological male, I'm going to say they're a biological male. This is medicine, after all. And if the man wants to be called Sally, sorry, I can't do that. And this was for him both a scientific ethical thing and a biblical Christian thing. And because of that, he was fired from his job.
Okay, tell us more details. I mean, is he able to get another job, or how does that work?
Well, I don't know about the larger system and what's going to happen. He is pushing back against this, so he's trying to fight it. And it's a relatively new case in terms of what's come up. But basically, he's told that he would be discriminating against transgender people. And it just so happened that while I was in England, I had about an hour car drive with a family, and one of the people in the car was a nurse working in the healthcare system and facing this very same problem. And I said, well, how do you handle it? Because you're dealing with biology. In other words, the doctor needs to know, is this a male or a female? There are ways you treat a man versus the way you treat a woman, or symptomology is going to be different, or medication is going to be prescribed differently. There, you know, it's not all uniform across the board. And she said, oh, I just ignore what they tell me, and I check off the right thing on the form because that's what we need to know. She realized that if she got found out for doing that, she could lose her job.
Wow.
So I don't know how far things will go, how much of a pushback there's going to be, but it's the same thing that we're seeing in America, where it's like they drank the Kool-Aid. They drank the Kool-Aid and something happened, and they're unable to think rationally anymore. It's really a scary thing to witness with our own eyes.
Yeah, and you quote, or cite rather, in your column, you cite the Israel's prestigious Weizmann Institute, and they reported last year researchers identify 6,500 genes that are expressed differently in men and women. So going back to this overall point, this is contradicting basic biology.
Yeah, and again, the issue is not where do you feel more at home. The issue is not what's going on inside of your head. The issue is not are you in deep emotional torment feeling that you're trapped in the wrong body. Those are all very real issues that people deal with. And I would never imagine for a minute that someone goes to this just for fun, you know, that you're that someone's going to lose their job or lose their career or have family turn on them because now they're going to turn from male to female or look like a man wearing a dress or something like that. Obviously, people struggle, but we're talking biology. We're talking medicine. We're talking treating someone. I was just looking at some studies, for example, with stroke issues because difference between left brain and right brain and just functions in males versus functions in females, that a man can have a stroke in one part of his brain and it really impairs him, impairs his speech, say. A woman has a stroke in that same part of her brain and it barely impedes her speech.
Hmm.
And in other words, we're affected differently because we are wired differently. There's a recent study now that indicates that, quote, transgender women, so in other words, men who believe they're women and transition to be women, have much, much higher health risk for strokes and other serious problems because of the hormones that they're on.
Oh.
So we've been experimenting with kids, you know, little kids, giving them hormone blockers to stop the onset of puberty, and then people put on lifetime regimen of hormones, and we say, that's the solution, and yet these are hardly solutions. I mean, look, we have chemotherapy to treat cancer. And it can help in some degree, radiation, it can help in some degree, but sometimes the chemo is almost as bad as the cancer, and we know it's anything but an ideal solution, and in most cases, it doesn't absolutely rid someone of cancer. So what do? We keep looking for a cure. But when it comes to transgender issues, we're told, no, this is the way you do it. This is the way you do it. And for a doctor to not be able to deal with basic biology, so that the doctor knows what he's treating or what she's treating and how to best address the needs of the patient, that you could argue is medical malpractice to have to go along with transgender activism.
Well, aren't there even some places such as Canada or New York where people can be punished if they use supposedly the wrong pronoun? In other words, a man that identifies as a woman, so now he should be called she, or so they say, and if you don't call him her, then you could be punished with the steep fines, just like this doctor in England lost his job.
Exactly. New York City passed this a few years ago. You could be fined up to $250,000. So if I come into work one day and I say I'm really Michelle, then you have to call me Michelle, you have to let me use the ladies' bathroom. Hang on. You're my employer. Are you allowed to ask for some type of medical documentation that I'm seeing a psychologist, that I've been diagnosed with gender dysphoria? No, you can't even ask that. In Canada, even though some have tried to say now the law is being overstated, it really is forced speech. Just anyone that identifies a certain way can compel you to refer to them in that way. Otherwise, you're breaking the law. And Jordan Peterson, who suddenly become maybe the best-known intellectual in Canada kind of overnight, one reason that he's resisted these things so strongly at University of Toronto and said, I refuse to go along with this at the school, is because for decades before that, he studied communism and other totalitarian regimes and looked at things like forced speech and forced thought, you know, the thought police and these kinds of things, and he sees the exact same thing happening now. There's a university I just read about this week, resident in Minnesota, where you will be fired from your job if you don't use the pronouns that the students request that you use. Again, what's happened in England has parallels, in Canada has parallels, in America. This is the extremism that we're up against. And if Christians don't stand up and wake up, then we're only going to have ourselves to blame, because these are things that can be preventable if enough people of conscience just raise their voices.
Wow. Okay, so in the case of this Dr. David McAreth, the one who was fired in England, Was it basically that somebody complained, in other words, a man pretending to be or claiming to be a woman was offended because he didn't call him, her, or she? That kind of
thing? When I read the report, it did not detail that.
Oh, okay.
In fact, any of the reports that I read. However, that's what normally happens. It takes one person upset, one person crying foul, and next thing, it's a national scandal. Next thing, this is the end of the world. And for some reason, just like with the recent thing with Scarlett Johansson and the movie, she was going to play a trans man, so a woman who identifies as a man. She was going to play that role, and there was an outcry among transgender people. How can this be? And we need to play the role, and how can you do this? So she backed away. You don't want to mess with the trans activist radicals. You think, well, wait a second. It's one thing if a white man is going to play the role of a black man and he's got to paint his face. Okay, that makes no sense whatsoever. But there are plenty of actresses, most of the roles they play are not true to who they are in real life. They're acting, They're acting as baseball players. They're acting as doctors. They're acting as detectives and secret agents. They're acting as astronauts.
They're acting as Jesus Christ.
Yeah, exactly. But not here. So, again, the sensitivity is off the charts. I genuinely care about people who struggle with these issues. And with all my heart, I want us to be able to help them from the inside out. But this is some of the transanity against which we must stand, against which we must push back. And you say, where could it go from here? That's the scary thing. When perception becomes reality, and now I am forced to accept that reality under penalty of law, where is the limit to this? There really is none.
Wow. And what's interesting, too, is that many different experts have said, and this includes Ryan Anderson of the Heritage Foundation, but that the vast majority of the young people who feel dysphoria about their gender dysphoria, I believe it's called, the vast majority of them outgrow this by the end of puberty. But I understand that there's a transgender person in Ohio who is a minor, and the parents wanted the child to get therapy, and instead a court overruled and said, no, this child is going to be forced to get the hormone treatment and maybe even surgery or something. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, well, you do have certain cases where the parent or the grandparent guardian was against the child transitioning, but the child's will was able to overrule the parent or the grandparent guardian. That's come up where the state's sided with a minor and said, go ahead and do this hormone therapy regardless of what the parents say. And yet in some states, if the kid is troubled by their so-called gender dysphoria and the parents want them to get help, so the parents are standing with the kid to get help, it would be illegal for them to get help. That's how twisted things have become. And Dr. Kenneth Zucker, one of the foremost authorities on these issues based in Canada, had a clinic that for decades helped kids with unwanted same-sex attraction. And he was by no means a conservative. If the kid ended up identifying as gay and was happy with that, he was happy with the outcome. That was fine for him. And he and others documented that as many as 75% of kids who identify with gender identity disorders, it used to be called, identify as children, yes, you're right. By the time they get through puberty, they no longer identify that. They outgrow it. You know what happened to Dr. Zucker and his clinic? Yeah. They were shut down by the government. Activists got him shut down.
Wow.
You shall not disagree with radical transgender activism without severe penalty.
Man. All right. Well, it's been great to talk with you. I'm sorry that this stuff is so sobering. It almost makes you feel like, well, we better get our copies of 1984, dust it off, and reread it. Dr. Michael Brown has been our guest for this portion of Vocal Point. Ask drbrown.org for more information. Thank you, Dr. Brown. Always a pleasure.
Always my joy to speak with you.